ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to episode 46 of the Women's Running podcast and our 15th workshop. I'm Esther Newman, editor of Women's Running. We kick off this one by talking about Holly's concerns about our upcoming half marathon. I do my best to allay her fears about coming last and general anxiety about a small race in terms of runner numbers. On the one hand, it's a bit of a relief not to have the pressure of so many people, but both of us are concerned about feeling a bit exposed. But we are determined to enjoy it, to take it slow and to keep hydrated properly. We go off on a tangent, standard, and have a giggle about sweat and where exactly we all sweat from, which makes me go a bit pink. And then for some reason we go off on a mega tangent about tights. I really have no idea why that happened. But the main part of this podcast is to discuss periods, how the hormones, the mental upheaval and the sheer presence of them can affect our running, and what we can do to combat these things. Holly is venturing back into the world of periods after having been on a contraceptive pill that's meant that she's not actually had a period for some years now. So knowing this, I wanted to talk about that and about our experience of contraception and how that has affected us and our running over the past years. And then what I really wanted to talk about was the practical side of things. What can people who have periods do to manage symptoms while out on a run? So we chat about some of the options available and the things we prefer to do. We also talk about how to run on a period while keeping an eye on the environment. And we talk about some of our favourite brands, not sponsored at all, just the ones we like. So I've listed those below in the show notes. Other tangents you may enjoy in this podcast. What have the Victorians ever done for us? Aside from architecture, Christmas trees and the Royal Albert Hall, obviously. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running, which is 35% off. That's less than $2.95 a month. And for that, you get our brilliant magazine and you also get loads of money off the sorts of stuff you love, like kit, nutrition and class memberships. Enter WRPOD at the checkout for your discount at shop.womensrunning.co.uk. Come and join Women's Running. We'd love to have you with us.
So I've just emailed you, Hol. I've emailed you.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, because this is the extent of our training.
Oh, but it was just my training plan. Nice.
Yeah.
So it's cool, not a training plan. That's not horrid.
Yeah, so it's not a training plan. It's just, in fact, I'm just going to refer to it now. So our half marathon is still the 15th of August. Or the 14th of August.
I was lying awake worrying about it the other night, and then I have remembered because the 10K knocked me loads,
yeah,
and really made me genuinely. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, should I text? I wasn't going to text you at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I did think about it for a second and I was like, no, stop, this isn't the time. But I did wake up in the middle of the night and think, shall I see if I can switch to a 5 or 10K? Because that 10K knocked me so much. It made me be like, oh God, can I do? I was so slow. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bit anxious that this race, because it's a lovely flat course and it's quite small,
yeah,
that this might be quite good runners and there might be every chance of coming last. Anyway, okay, those are all my 5 o'clock in the morning fears.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm.
I think it might be worth having a little read of something by Lisa Jackson,
yeah,
who happily comes last in races, just to get her take on it. And actually, I remember speaking to her and Elizabeth Ayres. Do you remember Elizabeth Ayres, who was...
Was she the woman that came last in the London Marathon and she did a big campaign?
That's right,
and
yeah.
They made it longer, didn't they? Because she felt like she missed out on the...
Well, the whole story with her was that she didn't come last, but she was kind of back of the pack, I think is kind of the phrase. And she was actually a pacer. And I think
she was
pacing the 7.5 hour marathon runners, and her experience wasn't fabulous. You know, they were kind of clearing up the streets as these people, mostly women, were running in that kind of group. So it wasn't brilliant. What she was, so I mean, she got that all changed, and she kind of did, as a result of a kind of one social post, I think she kind of brought in amazing change. And when we were speaking to London Marathon about it, they were creating a much more celebratory kind of atmosphere for the people that were running those sorts of times, the kind of 7.5 hour times. And it sounded brilliant, and then pandemic. So we haven't actually experienced
what it would be like.
We will experience it in October. But both her and Lisa Jackson have talked about the thrill of the brilliant thrill of being in the back of the pack group, because you can just yammer away. It's kind of because you're running at the speed of chat. You just chat.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that I need to be a little bit more confident with not always being amazing at doing things. I'm so bad for, I don't like doing things I'm shit at.
Yeah.
And so I won't try if I'm going to be shit.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that there's really nothing wrong with not being the best runner in the world. Even if you are walking little bits, even if you might be red in the face, even if your form isn't something that you massively want people to take pictures of because you look like a octopus at a 45 degree angle to the ground, then it doesn't matter. And I think I just need to talk a bit firmly to myself with that, because first experience of a half marathon, I felt like I did all right, and I surprised myself, and I felt okay. Virtual half, loved it and felt thrilled, but was a lot slower. And I think I need to realize that the being thrilled is why I'm doing it, not because I want to absolutely smash a PB out the park or make everybody else look like mugs because I've absolutely raced past them. That's not why I want to do it.
No, I know I said this before and I thoroughly ignored my own advice and stuff, but I do think that we need to like not look at time.
Yeah.
Not look at time. This is not what other runners might refer to as an A race. This is not our A race. This is tentatively
easing
our toes back into racing. Okay. So, and it's going to feel weird and different because neither of us have done this one before, and it will be a slightly smaller, you know, it will be a smaller amount of runners than at the Bath half, and it'll be a different route, but a route you're familiar with.
I love that route. It is a lush route. So objectively, I think a much nicer route than the Bath half. And I presume it's not a loop. I presume that
I think it's out and back.
Go out and come back, which is always such a nice feeling, because then you've psychologically got that kind of...
Exactly. You're on the way back.
Once you're halfway, then it's like, well, I've got to go home.
The other thing is, Hol, you have a tendency, and I'm wagging a finger. I will wag the finger that I'm... Yeah.
Go for it and wag.
Wag. I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but what you do in your races is you forget your hydration and your nutrition, and you have to nip into Tesco's for a bottle of Lucozade and a packet of jelly babies.
Yeah, every time.
So you won't be able to do that in this one.
Yeah.
So you've already probably saved 5 minutes off your PB, even if you were looking at PBs.
Because I've not had to pause to go into Tesco's to be like, yeah, can I have your most appropriate pack of jelly babies to fit in my vest, please?
Exactly. So instead, you're going to have to buy all that stuff to begin with. and fill up your hydration.
Yeah, pack. There's just an element of I'm going to have to be more prepared. I was super prepared for the original bath half that I ran because I didn't want to look like a tit and not have everything I needed. And you can't just pop into somewhere else, or
you can't. Although when we did the bath half, there were water stations and stuff. So
there were water stations, and there were Haribo stations.
Yeah. And there, I don't know what's going to happen with this race, and there may well be stuff like that there. But it's really, really good to be prepared and to practice. I can't emphasize that enough. You have to practice with the hydration pack on, even if you're going out for a 5K, just wear it so that you know. Yeah. So if it feels uncomfortable. So I went for a 14 mile run at the weekend with a friend, and I never normally do that. So that was quite weird and quite out of generally my comfort zone, although I wasn't worried about it because we looked at our Garmins together to check our pace to make sure that we were identical.
Aww.
Which was really lovely without trying to, and I thought she would be far outpacing me, so I was really pleased about that. So we knew we weren't going to be holding anyone back or whatever, so that felt quite nice. But it was interesting to see the differences between us on that run. Like, she had to stop to have her gel and walk, whereas I'm used to running and eating the gel at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that might be something that you might want to do, to kind of time a walk break with having your hydration or whatever it is you want to eat.
I did that in the race last time. When we reached those water stations, it was quite nice actually, because those were my slightly strategic, so that I could look forward to the next one and lower my pace.
Mm-hmm.
I would walk or go very, very, very slowly to drink my water.
Yeah.
And then I'd go and I'd know that it was coming round again, and I would be able to have that moment of being able to. And then the last 2 miles, I just walked and ran. I did like a meter walk, a meter run, and just weeping. My whole strategy of run until we get to the hydration station was really dead by the last couple of miles.
Oh, I think that's absolutely fine. I think that's kind of fair dues, really. One of the other interesting things that I noticed on this run was the difference in, and this is disgusting, but because we're runners, we're allowed to talk about disgusting things, right?
Yeah, totally.
Great. Like within 10 meters of running with her, we were talking about poo. I think that's standard, isn't it? But that wasn't the thing that I noticed. The thing that I noticed was the sweat difference, that we've got roughly the same length hair.
Yeah.
And by mile 2 or 3, as she pointed out, I had footballer hair. I looked like Kevin Keegan. That's a reference that's way too old for you.
Yeah, but it's one I'm laughing at politely.
I had what looked like, you know, it looked like I had gel in my hair. My hair was sodden and Mixed curly, mullety and curly.
Yeah.
And hers was bone dry. And we had noticed as we headed out, we both had hydration packs on. I had a litre of water that I had precision hydration electrolytes mixed up into. Mm. Plus I had 3 gels. She had 1 gel and 0.5 litre of water. And that works for her, and she's a good runner and everything. And I just thought, oh, that's interesting. It was kind of affirming, because I just thought, well, clearly I sweat an enormous amount and I need to replace that salt and liquid, and so therefore I do need more water. But it makes me want to do a sweat test.
I'd love to do a sweat test. I also think it's interesting where people sweat from, because I sometimes I go to the gym with Cara and we do the spinning class together, and she's the same with the head. She always complains about the fact that she looks like she has got shoe polish in her hair or something afterwards, like fully like sticky with sweat.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cara, if she's listening, but I'm sure she'd own it. But I don't have that too much on my head. I just get the sweatiest armpits, the sweatiest feet, very sweaty feet. Yeah. So I do think that's quite an interesting one as well, is where do you sweat from? Because my head isn't really a massive one.
It's any creases,
absolute goners.
I can't bear it. It's head, chest.
Chest? I don't think I'm just an underboob.
You're an underboob. I don't have any underboob.
No, I didn't used to have underboob until my boob growth spurt that we've discussed on the podcast.
I think mine have shrunk. I've noticed this with testing some stuff for the product awards. So I shan't mention any names, but I've ordered all stuff in my usual kind of bra size, and I've been wearing I haven't been wearing proper bras for the last 18 months, and I know I can't be alone there.
Yeah.
They're wearing little bralettes and things, so no underwire or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, so these are the first kind of sports, like proper sports bras that aren't like SML, but are actually my bra size.
Yeah.
Or I thought was my bra size. And there's quite a lot of space in there.
Mm.
So I don't know. Is this an age thing? Is it, have the pandemic stolen my boobs? I don't know.
Given some to me in the night.
Oh, that's quite nice of me, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, I'm the same. I think it's been really strange that my body's changed quite a lot over lockdown. And it's, well, now I guess we're finally at the stage where we can start to have things like bra fittings and go and try things on. But It was really weird, and really, because we test quite a lot of stuff, I had a couple of embarrassing ones where I had to send them back.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I'm actually completely wrong. That's not the size that I am.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea, because it's been so long since I've been into a shop. I haven't had a bra fitting for a very long time. I've got no idea what my size really is. I know what size I go for and then probably complain it doesn't quite fit, but I don't know what size I actually am.
I've been wearing roughly the same bra since I was about 14.
Yeah.
And I imagine I might have changed in the interim sort of 30 years.
Potentially. Potentially. Yeah. It's weird body shapes changing as well, isn't it? Because it's not, for me, it's not just bigger or smaller. I fluctuate loads. So when I look back at pictures of myself, I will almost barely recognize myself, because I might have been heavier at one point, but it's not gone on my face. It's gone somewhere else. And so I look completely different to, it's really strange that my body shape definitely changes. It's not always going to be the same places that I put on or lose weight when I put on or lose weight.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Mm. As the years change, like I always used to be very much an apple-y kind of person. So the weight would go on around my middle.
Yeah.
So actually, if you look back at photographs of me where I knew because of the time, I'd think, oh, I'm a stone heavier or whatever. It's not necessarily because of my tendency to wear square jumpers, you wouldn't necessarily
know. You wouldn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'd just be me struggling to wear the same jeans, but finding sitting down more difficult and complex than previously.
I just find sitting down a lot more comfortable when I put on weight, because it all generally goes to the booty.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Mine's always around my middle, so it's always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's why tights are never my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel that. I've got that a little bit since lockdown, that I've got starting to get a bit of a tum, and which I love and I celebrate. But yeah, it's slightly irritating trying to wear things like tights and trying to decide which roll
to hang it over the top of. I usually hoik right up under bra. And so it was such a joy to find. Have you heard of Heist?
Mm-mm.
Not that I've worn tights for 2 years. I don't even know I'm talking about them, but there's
We've
a company
no reason.
Called Heist.
Tights are for nice occasions.
Yeah, exactly. They're for weddings, and no one's been to one of those, have they? But yeah, there is a company that makes these tights where it doesn't actually have a proper band. It's just a kind of, the whole midsection of it is just a slightly kind of more compressed version of the normal tight fabric. And it's really, really deep. So you can pull it up to your bra.
Oh.
And it behaves slightly like a very comfortable pair of Spanx.
Yeah, got you.
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing.
Oh, I like them. The other one that I've heard really good things about are snag tights. Have you seen
them? I've heard about them. They do lovely colours, don't they?
They do lovely colours. I always see them on Instagram. And apparently they're amazing for being really durable. They're not, that you don't get ladders in them too often. And they look really, really comfy. And they do a like chub rub short thing that is designed to go under a dress or something, so you don't get the horrible chafe of enjoying a summer's day by shredding your inner thighs to pieces.
Oh.
And yeah, it is. I've not tried those, but I'm definitely tempted to give those a go as a chafe.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a nice thing. Lots of us wear running shorts and stuff underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? I have sometimes opted for a pair of running shorts mm-hmm. If I need.
This is veering massively off topic.
Yeah, we're
it?
Talking about different brands of tights. Like,
we're talking about tights.
Even for us, we've gone too far from.
We have gone too far. Let's rein it in. Let's mm-hmm. rein it in. Although, to be honest, let's not rein it in. Well, I'll rein it in and then go off onto a completely different tangent, because one of the things I wanted to talk to you a little bit about was running and periods. And
yes.
It was to do with, we were talking yesterday, well, I won't explain exactly what we were talking about yesterday because this is your information, but...
No, I don't mind. Let's go for it. We were talking about me getting the coil.
Yes.
And I mean, I haven't had to deal, because I've been on the Depot jab. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's a brand or whether I'm sure other jabs are available. I don't know. No idea.
Maybe that's
what
a bath-based brand.
Yeah, local contraceptive jab. But and that's meant it's a really, really big dose of progesterone, and that's meant that I've not had periods for about 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and so I haven't had to worry about that with running at all. I've not had to sort of live by a cycle. And it's going to be interesting. Because I moved away from that because of the fact that it's a big dose. So I think it can be more likely to make you suffer from things like osteoporosis. And I also have been sitting on my ass inside for most of the last 18 months, as have the majority of the world. Mm-hmm. So that may have something to do with it. But I think it is the biggest culprit for kind of weight gain and fluctuation, and not necessarily being the size that you sit comfortably at usually. So that's why I've decided to go for the coil, and mine is called Kylina.
That sounds nice.
I know, I do think that that's quite a sweet, so it sounds a bit like a drag queen.
A little, yes.
A little bit like a drag queen or a Australian pop superstar sensation.
There is that.
So mine's called Kylina, and I think
and can I ask, is it the copper coil or is it the hormonal
it's
one?
It's not. It's the hormonal one. So it does a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably means that I'm not massively likely to get really, really heavy periods. But I think I probably will start getting periods again and having to live by that cycle again.
Yeah.
I'm already kind of thinking about it, because since I've had it put in, I've been crampy, just like a bad period.
Mm.
And it's reminded me of the benefits actually of exercise with that. So I think for the first 24 hours, the idea, so nothing kind of dislodges or whatever, is to not do anything particularly exciting.
Mm.
But I think if it's still a little bit crampy tomorrow, I should go anyway, but I'm definitely going to run basically tomorrow, whatever happens, because I remembered that actually a big thing from when I used to have periods that really helped me personally, I'm sure it's not the same for everybody, mm. was exercise. It definitely used to really help. But it will be very interesting to see, and I will report back what that's like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm venturing back into the world of periods.
Of actual
and I'm
periods.
Quite nervous. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think there were like two things that I wanted to talk about. One, I was just really interested to know what your experience had been like, because it's been in the news recently. Which I'm hoping you avoided before yesterday, because of Naga Munchetti, who was talking about her experience of having a coil fitted. And
oh, that's why I saw it. So I didn't avoid that. I didn't look into it, so I didn't know that it was her. But yeah. I did see a post on Instagram about an hour before I went to the doctors saying 46% of women experience excruciating pain.
Yeah.
I did do gripping of table and screaming a bit.
Yeah. Was it okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. So the procedure was, for anybody who is interested in getting it, the procedure was that she clamped my cervix, and she said that might be painful.
That's not a sentence you ever want to say
really
or hear.
It's not a sentence you want to hear, is it? So that's when I was lying there going, almost crying, being like, okay. And actually, that was totally fine. I didn't even feel that. So then I got a bit cocky and I was like, oh, I'm just obviously really hard and I'm just not going to, this is going to be a piece of cake. And my mum had described it, presumably because she had hers fitted after having children.
Mm.
She was like, oh, it's just like a smear test. And I was like, this is going to be, what a liar. What a liar.
Yeah.
So by that stage, I was like, this is all going to be absolutely fine. Then she said, right, I'm going to measure your womb.
Ooh.
And that when she, I think, puts in a sort of, I imagine, just a sort of ruler, but I don't know what it was.
A slide rule.
Yeah. A slide rule. And so then she measured the womb, and that was just felt, I think, because my womb was being like, get out of here. Mm. That kind of just felt like really uncomfortable period pains. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, I'm going to put it in. And then I thought, oh, maybe the womb bit was the bit that my body didn't react well to. Maybe this will be like when she said, I'm going to clamp your cervix, which sounded absolutely horrible, but was totally fine. Mm. And that was really nasty. And that was the bit that I was gripping the table and going, ah, and she was going, you're doing great. You can do it. And I felt like I was giving birth.
But over and done with in a few minutes.
It honestly happened. I didn't time, but she bragged to me, my lovely nurse called Emma, who is the lushest woman. She bragged to me that she could do it in under a minute. So super quick, even That's if it good. Was really, really nasty.
Yeah.
And I know horrible things can happen, like perforating uteruses and all sorts of phrases that you never want to hear in your life. Mm. But she was put me at massive ease because she was super confident and clearly did it all the time. She was a bit older and she was quite matronly. So although she was really gentle and lovely, she was also a bit like, stop now, you're fine, stop whining. And it kind of made me a bit like, yeah, I kind of needed like that. So I loved her. And then it was just, I mean, it's still a little bit, comes in waves, a bit crampy this morning, but it was only about 5 o'clock yesterday, 4:30, something like that yesterday. And it was painful for about 3 or 4 hours afterwards. And now it's fine. I didn't have problems sleeping or anything either. So, So I think I'll definitely be fine to run tomorrow. It's just the weird image of there's this thing now. I shouldn't have looked up what it looked like, but I was interested. So I looked up, what does it look like when it's in your womb? And it looks like, if I make any wrong move, then it might just poke out the side of my stomach or something.
Yeah, I think did she show it to you, like what it actually looks like in real life?
No, but I did look up a picture and it was kind of weirdly bigger and also smaller than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, like big when you think that's going in my womb, but tiny comparatively to most things in the world.
Yes, I think that's a very good description. I think I had mine fitted, but before
did you have you? Yeah,
between Ted and Felix, I did, and I had a horrible experience actually.
So
mine was very different, which I'm not entirely sure I'll go into. I don't think it's very
fair. Is it a bit of a horror story?
Yeah. Well, there's a reason we have two children, and one of those is because I had a coil fitted. I didn't get pregnant while I had a coil fitted. I had it removed and then got pregnant.
Yeah.
Naga Manchetti's experience really resonated with me. And it was something I was talking to Rachel, who works on the magazine this week. And she also had a similar experience. And we were just talking about that, and we were talking about runners and contraception and periods and things. It was just a really interesting, like, the stuff that's in the news at the moment is interesting because it's kind of it shows the kind of crap again that women have to go through look after our own kind of sexual health and stuff.
Although it was fine, it did blow my mind that I was going to a casual doctor's surgery.
Yeah.
That this was just a sort of, that there was no kind of big deal surrounding it. And being perfectly honest, although it was fine, it was a big deal. Like it was really painful and it wasn't pleasant at all. And I didn't have any local anesthetic I'm glad I didn't, because I think it probably would have been equally painful to have
administer.
That.
But I think
it did make me feel quite sort of righteous for the rest of the day towards Doug.
Oh, yes.
I was like, I'm a goddess and I do feel as though everybody should be bowing to me right now, that I've just gone through that just because I've got a bloody womb.
Yeah, I felt like that until I forced Dave to have a vasectomy, and then unfortunately the tables have turned hugely. But never mind.
but what kind of horrid things, or should I know this now that I've got it?
What?
But because are they after things that she's experienced, or was it during the process of actually having it fitted that she had a horrible time?
What, Rachel?
Yeah, or Naga.
Think it's fitting. Fitting mainly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just never got on with it. But then I didn't have the hormonal one. I had the copper coil one, which to me sounds like it was made in the 1930s and was probably the size of a coat hanger. And that may be something to do with some of the discomfort that I felt.
It does look a bit like an anchor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like a rusty.
Rusty. Anchor. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you have to pull it out with sort of a chain or something.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
kind of image. Yeah. That's kind of how it felt, to be fair.
Really?
So yeah, I didn't have a good time with that. What also kind of lends itself to the running discussion is that that one of the things that coil does is, or one thing that it can do is it can give you quite heavy periods.
Yeah, the non-hormonal.
Yeah. And so mm-hmm. I had that after because it was before Felix. So in between Ted and Felix, I started having, because of that, I started having incredibly heavy periods. And then after Felix was born, I didn't have it again because of being slightly traumatized with its insertion and removal. I just didn't, and then forced Dave to go to the clinic around the corner. But then continue to have really, really heavy periods. Mm. And as a runner, that's a really tricky thing to manage.
Yeah.
And I think you've got all these different things to cope with if you have a period and you're running. And one of them is the emotional crap that we have to cope with, the hormonal crap, and physical hormonal crap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are one or two weeks of, I mean, it's the idea of like looking at it as 4 weeks, and like 1 or 2 weeks of that 4 weeks are just a bit shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 weeks, which is really unfair.
Your month are normal weeks and the other two are just crap. That's what I'm really nervous about potentially going back into, is I've absolutely loved, I imagine it's what it's like to be a man, that I just don't have to live my life by a cycle of, oh, I'm going to feel crap and then I'm going to feel really hungry that week and then I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I just could carry on as normal and I wasn't ever worrying about when my period was coming at all.
Yeah.
And I do, it just like psychologically even, it's quite a frightening thought going back to knowing that there are going to be times where I feel really shite and that I can't really do anything about that now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the powerlessness of that is kind of a bit unnerving. I have a period app and that does really, really help. Particularly if I have really low days, I will automatically at the end of that low day, and I should have done it at the beginning perhaps, but I will automatically go on my period app, and that tends to explain away. And it tends to always be 4 or 5 days before my period.
I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's one thing. But practically speaking, you now need to think about how you're going to cope with periods when you're running, and particularly when you start doing endurance running. And I find that like the triple quadruple whammy of having a period, being a person that has a period when you run, are you've got to think about practically whether or not you're happy with the concept of someone else knowing that you have a period. So whether you want to hide, you know, people free bleed and stuff like that. So it's kind of whether you want to hide your period or contain it in some way. And you need to think about ways in which you want to do that. And you want to think about if you do want to do that, what kind of products do you want to use in order to contain it? And, you know, are you going to go down the tampon or sandwich towel route, or then there's the other kind of guilt coming in here, which would be environment. So then, you know, we're talking about things like balloon cups and so reusable sandwich towels.
Pre-jab, when I did used to still have periods, that wasn't such a, I suppose I thought about it a bit, but it wasn't such a huge conversation in my life. So I've always hated sandwich towels. I really hate basically just, well, it's no shame about it. It's what works best for some people. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it makes me feel like I'm sitting in my own filth, and it's not a very pleasant feeling. So I was always, would prefer tampons before the pre-jab. Mm-hmm. But I think now that would be a real question for me about environmentalism. Mm-hmm. And I know there are some brands that we've worked with before that do like reusable applicators or do recyclable applicators or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think I would probably be most leaning towards the pants. I think the pants just sound amazing.
I feel like I bang on about it in almost every, either if it's not a podcast, it's every conversation about periods ever. Mm-hmm. But because I was gifted a couple of years back a pair of pants from BP3.
Yeah.
And they're one of a number of period pant companies, but they just happen to be quite cute because they've got like a little scalloped bit around your bum. So they look really nice. They don't look functional.
Yeah.
And I always opt to run in them if it's the beginning or end of a period particularly and nothing else. But I would also always run in black leggings.
Yeah. I do anyway, just because I don't.
Black period pants. And occasionally, and I have used in the past a moon cup, which.
That's the other thing that I was going to ask. What would that be like to run with? Would that stay in place? I have no idea.
Yeah, it did with me. My problem, I think it's my problem with the very heavy periods that I have is that actually, like when you read it, so with a moon, I've tried moon cup as in like the brand moon cup. I've got that. I think that's probably the best one I've tried. And I've tried a couple of other brands. I also use, there's a company called Dame, and they.
Yeah, I think we've worked with them before, haven't we?
We may have done. And I think it's, there's Dame and there's another one. I think it might be Hello Girls or something like that. I buy it from Posh Waitrose, and for every kind of packet of sanitary towels, they donate a packet to a school or something. So
that's lovely. That's really nice.
And I think that's organic. Although they're disposable, they're organic cotton and so it's all kind of, it's all to the good kind of thing.
I imagine that'd be a bit less uncomfortable as well.
Was it Hey Girls? It might be Hey Girls. I'll have a look. I'll put it in the show notes anyway. But that seems to, and they also do a moon cup type thing or a sanitary cup or whatever it's called, period cup. Anyway. People have varying degrees of experience with moon cups. And I remember when I first heard about it, I was only talking about this the other day. When I first heard about moon cups, it was because a friend, this was probably close to 20 years ago, and a friend was going on this kind of crazy adventure in the back of a truck with 20 people that she'd never met before to Australia across land, and that would mean going through all the sorts of countries that you might be slightly concerned about. It was all a bit Iran, Iraq, blah blah blah, and it was going to take months and months and months, and it was going to be this massive adventure. And she was talking about one of the other travelers that was going with her was going to be using a moon cup, and she explained what this is, and we were all like, oh my god, that's the most disgusting thing.
Yeah, I think I thought it sounded a bit grim to start with.
Yeah, but now I am a fully paid up member of the moon cup community. Moon cup club.
Yeah,
totally, because you have to overcome a bit of a barrier when it comes to squeamishness and the sight of your own blood.
Yeah,
you just have to get and you have to sort of rummage around a bit, so it's kind of getting used to that. When if you're someone like me, you are not used to that level of intimacy with your own body.
Yeah.
It did take me a good 3 periods to get the hang of and I had to watch a couple of videos that weren't gruesome, but
I slightly get worried about the idea of, because it's sort of almost suctioned when it's in place, right?
It is.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what I get a bit nervous about, is I can feel, you know, when you get a ring stuck on your finger or something?
Yes. Yeah.
That horrible, like, rising panic.
Yeah.
That it's slightly embarrassing to get someone to help, and you're just sort of in the bathroom, sort of crying and sweating, trying to do it on your own. That's what I get a bit nervous about.
That never, ever, ever happens, because once you've got the hang of it, once you know what it feels like to put it in,
yeah,
and take it out. I mean, there is no way it's never, ever, ever going to get stuck. It just won't.
Yeah.
And it's quite easy to break the seal, kind of thing, which is how you remove it.
Yeah.
And I think, now I've never done it in practice, but for me, it seems like it makes all the sense in the world for this to be what you would use if you were going running, like on a trail or something for several hours.
You don't have to change it.
I can't, it lasts a long time, don't they? Yeah, I think for someone that bleeds a normal amount, though God knows what that is, but certainly not me, and certainly not the first day of my period, but it's supposed to be, the theory is that you put it in the morning and you take it out in the evening and wash it and then reinsert it overnight. So you only have to do it, you know, twice a day. What I find with my periods is that it's a 2-hour turnaround.
Really?
Okay. Oh God, it's bloody horrible, hole. So for a short run on that first day, then yes, I would. And you can't feel it when it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be much happier because they contain something like 4 tampons worth. So I would be much happier going on a run with a moon cup than I would any other form of kind of sanitary stuff.
Because, and if you're doing a longer thing and you are very heavy at that point, then moon cup and pants combo could
moon
be
cup,
a winner.
Pants combo, yeah. You can even get period leggings.
Can you?
Yeah. So if you were particularly heavy, that would be... If I was doing a trail race, if I was going to be out for like 4 to 6 hours and it was the first day of my period, I would like triple bag myself with moon cup, pants, leggings, everything in the darkest black you can possibly imagine, like the whole shebang, I think is what I do. So it's kind of, you know, there are all these kind of, it's a number of options, isn't it? And I think,
I'm quite interested in the idea of pants and leggings because I think, I just don't know because it's been so long, but my periods weren't ever massively heavy and I kind of feel quite liberated by the idea of just going out. And let's be honest, a lot of the time that you come back from a run, it feels like you've perioded all in your pants anyway, because it's all so sweaty.
It's very sweaty there, isn't it?
It's all very sweaty there. Yeah. And can only be likened to the feeling of like when you get up in the morning and you're on your period or something. Yeah, so, I mean, it may be that there's something about that doesn't feel gross to me because it's like, I know that I'm used to that being quite a moist. Oh,
yes,
God.
There is definitely
you know what I mean.
There is definitely that feeling of, when you wake up in the morning and it's heavy day one and it just feels like the world has dropped out of your vagina.
The waterfall.
So it is, all those things, the kind of those period pants, I just think are a genius move. And it does make me feel, and then you have the double whammy as a woman. Well, as a person, frankly, you have that kind of double protection that, like I did on that 20-mile run, you get to the last mile and you think, well, I'm not going to stop even if I do need a wee.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the end thinking, I really should have stopped, shouldn't I? You know, because a little bit extra has fallen out there.
Yeah.
And your pelvic floor is not what it should be at 20 miles, is it? So to have that level of security for wee and period is just... amazing.
I should just start running in period pants anyway if they're absorbent and comfy. Or do they feel, is there a thickness?
No, they are a little bit thicker. God, am I gonna have to say the word gusset?
Potentially.
It's done now. It's done. I've crossed that bridge.
I said moist.
Oh, Jesus. Let's not put those two things together.
No, please.
Yes, it is a little bit, but uber comfortable. So it doesn't feel like, it's not like putting on a sandwich towel in 1982 where you also needed kind of hooks and the help of your mother to kind of climb into it and stuff like that. It does feel like And because of the way these are created as well, they're made in like sporty technical wicking fabric. So the kind
yeah,
of,
that's good.
The other part of the pant that isn't gusset, it really helps with the kind of chafe that you were talking
about. That's why I'm kind of tempted to just get some anyway before I know what my periods are going to be like and just start trying to sort of practice running in them, because I do tend to find that that's an area that chafes a bit because I've not really got any of the right kind of pants for running. Mm-hmm. I just wear my most comfortable M&S pair and I've never really thought about proper technical running pants. And I think that sort of would be quite a nice investment of killing two birds with one stone, because, oh, the idea of sweat wicking pants, seamless.
Oh, they're amazing. Pants. And she does it like they do them. She does them in a kind of 1970s fit, which is my go-to. Like I go for a kind of a bikini brief, I believe is the phrase that M&S might use. I don't know what she uses. But she also does a full-blown right up to your belly button.
Nice.
I have a pair of those too. And for the big overnighters, when I know it's going to be horrific, then those go on underneath my pyjamas. Mm-hmm. Plus whatever, I basically need a nappy on those nights. It's so unpleasant.
I hate that feeling. That's what I really don't want to return to, is, you know, the nighttime sanitary towels that literally feel like you've stuck a piece of cardboard in your pants.
And you walk like you were born on a horse. And moon cup all the way.
Moon cup all the way. Yeah. And I'm weirdly slightly excited because over the last sort of 4 years or so, I can't even remember when I started on the depot jab. I think it was 2017, actually. So, 4 years ago. That was when all of these things started becoming a bit more popular. And I started to see things about moon cups and period pants. And I've obviously was, of course, let's be honest, glad to not be having periods, but was also quite like, oh, I'm quite jealous of that. Quite
You're missing out on products, aren't you?
Yeah, I want to try that. If everyone's raving about it, I want to give it a go. So quite excited about trialing some of those things. And of course, the smugness of being a moon cup user and going, yes, and I don't use cling film either. No, yeah, I am better than you.
You almost need it written on a t-shirt or something, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, what was it? Isn't there, who's that? Who's the woman in literature? What's her name? Camellia. Oh God, what's that? There's the French prostitute.
Oh.
And I've forgotten the story, but it's, isn't it basically what's the Baz Luhrmann film with Nicole Kidman in it?
A Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, it's. I think that's kind of part of the same story. It's the kind of this famous story.
Cabaret thingy.
Yeah, but the main character in it is a sort of famous prostitute who would wear, I think, like a red camellia when she was on her period so that her clients knew not to... Not to give her any grief. And I have suddenly, you know, I've thought about that at home. Occasionally,
I really like that idea. I really like that idea. Red camellia.
Yeah. And I wonder if maybe that we could dream up something that if we become part of the smug moon cup community, that there must be a smug moon cup community t-shirt / Facebook group.
Maybe we need little badges that tattoos. Are moons.
Yeah.
And we wear moon badges.
Yeah.
Just to show everyone
how brilliant we are.
Leave me alone at the moment, but also don't forget that I'm pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive. Using medical grade silicon rather than...
Because I care.
Yes, because I care. Also like new products.
Yeah, also like giving things a go and don't like being left out of movements, but that's neither here nor there.
The moon cup movement. I think it probably is a movement now, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to talk about this sort of stuff. I can't believe how far we've come in the last sort of 20, even within the last 10 years. I remember a flatmate saying that she did this brilliant thing of trying a new kind of environmental practice once every month. So she did, I can't remember what year, it was probably like 2010 or something. And every month in that year, she was like, I'm going to try this. And if I like it, I'll carry on doing it for the rest of the year. If I don't like it, I'll end on the 31st of that. And so
nice, I love that.
It was really good. So I think, you know, she tried like veganism and she tried, and from each one, she learned something and she carried on with it. She didn't necessarily do all of it.
Yeah. But she picked up bits.
Yeah, exactly. So I think with the veganism one, I don't know if she went, she definitely went full vegan for a month and then she continued some of the food that she'd enjoyed, she continued having.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
what it's all about, really, if you're doing it for environmental reasons, isn't it? It's just cutting
down. Stuff down. Yeah, yeah. And seeing what it's like. In one of those months, she did try a moon cup. And I remember at the time looking at her as if this was the oddest thing in the world. I was just like, I think, you know, it's a step too far. You know, yeah. With your environmentalism, I think this is, you've gone from being, I'm going to recycle my cardboard, to full on hippie. And I'm, you know, and I remember sort of backing slowly out of the room as she was telling me this. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, I don't want to go to the bathroom after you. This is going to be horrific. It's going to be like Carrie. but it wasn't. And I know that she was, you know, within one period, she was a fully paid up member of that community and was just saying, this is absolutely brilliant. And it took me years to follow her. But when I did, and when I bought my moon cup, and after three periods, when I got myself sorted to it, and she now lives in Africa.
Mm.
But I messaged her to say, I got one too.
I got one. Like,
yeah, well done. 5 years later.
Also, the expense, I imagine,
mm-hmm.
is how much is the moon cup? 15 quid or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's it.
And then that's it. Rather than, you know, 3 quid on a box of tampons. And then you've got to get, again, can't really remember, but I don't ever really remember feeling lush about the idea of sleeping with tampons. So then you'd have to make sure you had those huge, horrible sanitary towels that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And all sorts of paraphernalia that you're buying on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
That until recently, am I right in thinking that that's been changed now? But until recently, we had to also pay tax on.
Yeah.
And the idea of just 15 quid, that's your moon cup, lasts you a few years, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, some of them kind of suggest that, you know, up to 10 years sort of thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which I think is maybe a little extreme. But yeah, I had my first moon cup for 2 years.
Mm.
And that was like 15 quid. 15 quid for 2 years.
Amazing.
I know. Absolutely.
Really being very economic about your period there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I really, really want to ensure that Felix is aware of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets to that age, you know, that, although thinking about that makes me feel a bit weepy. I don't want her to get to that age, although that's really bad, isn't it? She was asking me what periods were in the bath, and it was just, it's such a difficult, it's such a big, big concept and such a difficult one to explain to a 6-year-old and kind of, because they started off talking, I think Ted said, do women grow hair on their faces like men do? The minefields you have to tread through being, you know, it's like, well, yes, they do. But not in the way in which I think you're, you know, sometimes they might do, but you know, and I realize I'm treading this whole political correctness as well as trying to explain what goes on with hormonal changes as you grow up. And he's just hearing about it in school. And then once we'd started talking about hormonal changes and stuff that boys go through, he said, well, what about girls? And Felix was saying, what's going to happen to me? And I said, well, one of the things you're going to have is, you know, you'll grow some boobs. And Felix was sort of looking at her tummy a bit and just thinking, well, where will they come from?
They're going to go.
Yeah. and then we talked about periods a bit. But I think the joy of having a 6-year-old is that they ask these massive questions like, why do we all die? And what are a period?
And then they'll be like,
what's a period? And where do babies come from? And you start explaining and they just get bored and go off and play Lego. So it's like, oh, that's all right then. I'll just get
you. Yeah, fine. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember the feeling of when I first started my period of, it again, became, as tends to be a theme in my life, actually, more of an existential crisis than really it needed to be. But I remember that feeling of like, oh my God, this is for so many years. This is until I'm about 50 that I have to deal with this every month, and sort of trying to calculate or how many that meant that I would have to endure.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is how it feels for the first few, and then you just get on with it and it's life, isn't it? But it was a really horrible thought to start with, that it was like, oh, here we go. Here it comes.
Yeah.
This is me. This is me until I'm in my 50s.
The pressure of it, I think, you know, when you're, you know, in your early teens and you get your first period, you just think, you know, and everyone starts saying, you're a woman now.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. And it turns out
I couldn't tell anyone either, because I remember we had sort of not very familiar family friends around for Sunday lunch. So I just started my period, and then I had to come and sit back down and go, oh, lovely roast potatoes.
Yeah.
And carry on as if this huge thing that everybody had been saying, yes, you're going to become a woman when this happens to you or whatever thing, which is weird. That's kind of weird. Why do we say that?
Let's not say that to 12 and 13 year old girls.
Because I'm guessing that the sort of perception of that is that you are conceiving. You can conceive now.
You can have a baby now.
And most people who start their periods are, I think I was 12 and was, that's not at all what was crossing my mind whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I didn't become a woman. I don't know what was going on. Yeah. I was wearing Looney Tunes pants when it started. That's how young I was, I remember. Poor baby Holes. I'm sparing a thought for her now, having to go back to her Sunday lunch with a wobbly lip, pretending everything was fine.
I was wearing beige chinos.
Oh, no.
That family dates me, doesn't it? Beige chinos. But I was also at a family lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
It's about gravy.
I was a lot older than you, though. I was 14.
Really? Yeah. I was quite small. Yeah. Some people I know started careers when they were, I think I know a girl who started careers when she was 9.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, girls are starting a lot earlier these days.
Yeah.
Probably our fault for taking the pill for so long and kind of infecting all the water and the whole of the world and making it very hormonal. But that's why we need to talk about periods at the age of 6, just in case things change radically in the intervening. And, you know, you don't want, you know, I've had friends that didn't know anything about periods and they did have carry moments when they had their first period because they were just like, I'm hemorrhaging.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I do think about that quite often, actually. What must the first period have been like? Every person who had a period in the olden days must have thought that they were dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe I don't know, maybe in the olden days they were happier to talk about it. I reckon it was the Victorians which stuffed us.
Do you think
they didn't
want
to talk about anything, least of all ankles, but definitely definitely not bleeding. Yeah, so I blame them. I blame Victoria.
Yeah, I always do, actually. I find that's a nice way to just direct my rage.
Yeah.
At the Victorians.
Yeah. They covered up
Thanks
kino legs,
for complex God's sake. About death. Thanks for making me feel embarrassed about my ankles. Yeah, yes. All of those various issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Utter bastards. However, Christmas trees.
They are nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the Christmas tree thing. There's
a nice haul. Got a nice haul out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Sort of slightly overblown. My house. Actually, maybe it wasn't so bad.
This
is
going to
be like,
things.
What did the Romans ever did for us?
Especially when we live in Bath.
Anyway, we have veered so significantly off tangent. I think
we have.
Time to bring to a close.
Yes. I hope that wasn't too much information for everybody. And that was, I always feel very chill chatting about that stuff because I think of the kind of, you can't talk about it, that I think everybody grows up in slightly, that now I'm older, I'm like, let's talk all about vulvas. I don't care.
Let's do it. And I think it's great. It's great also that the kind of the two angles where we are coming from it, where I am hopefully on my way out.
Mm-hmm.
Not in terms of life expectancy, but in terms of period expectancy, and you're kind of firmly kind of in the middle of it all.
Yeah. Well, I'm weirdly coming back in. I'm about to be the 12-year-old at the family lunch again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't wear chinos.
No.
No.
Don't have any fun, basically, for the next...
Although, Looney Tunes pants sounds like it might be a worthwhile investment if they do that in a period version.
Yeah, they were nice. I really specifically remember they were nice. Yeah. They were red, which did make things slightly difficult to tell what was going on.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm so pleased I'm not 14 anymore.
Yeah, it was really frightening and not very... But yeah, mainly for me, just because of the kind of, oh God, this is going to be forever.
Yeah.
That I tend to spiral into rather than taking one day at a time. I remember being quite freaked out by all of that. It was actually really weird yesterday because I didn't have any, or so far, touch wood, haven't had any. But she did say you might have some bleeding and spotting and stuff after the coil. Yeah. And I didn't have anything in the house because I haven't had a period for so long. I think I had a couple of rogue tampons, but I don't think you're supposed to use them for the first couple of days.
And you might not want to put anything else up there after that.
Yeah, the idea of it, sort of anything going near now is a bit like, I need time. I need time to forget.
I do so love a bit of period chat. The thing is, we all have such wildly different experiences, and what works for us may not work for you. But hopefully there are a few ideas there to be getting on with. It's my continued hope that by talking about this stuff more often, the conversations will get easier, and that as our kids grow up, they have access to every bit of information they need on how to manage their periods the best they can, and that the people around them engage with them about their periods and hormones with interest and without embarrassment. This podcast was recorded over Zoom. The editor and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Podcast listeners can claim the best discount we have for membership to Women's Running, which is 35% off. That's less than $2.95 a month. And for that, you get our brilliant magazine, and you also get loads of money off the sorts of stuff you love, like kit, nutrition, and class memberships. Go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk and enter WRPOD at the checkout for your discount. Happy running.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.